It's the 29th of October, and this is Rabbi Manning Shiur.
The topic for today is, I think, something of a treat. I like this topic. It's a mitzvah that I enjoy doing, which is Hachnasat Orchim. And it's very much the theme of the beginning of the parasha, although we'll see that the mitzvah does not actually come from the parasha, and that's a mistake that people often make, but we'll see how that works. I think everybody knows, if you stop people in the street and ask them, is there an idea in halakha, in Jewish thought, to invite people to your home, everybody would say yes. If you ask them, okay, good, well, where does it say that in the Torah? Where is the source in the Torah that there is a mitzvah to invite guests? I'm sure most people, I guess 99 out of 100, will say Avraham Avinu. And that is not true. We will learn certain details from Avraham Avinu, but the mitzvah actually is somewhere else. Looking in the Rambam in Hilchos Avil, at the beginning of chapter 14, we've seen this source before, but it is a critical source which deals with this specifically. Mitzvat asei shel divreihem. It is a positive rabbinic mitzvah, he says. It's a rabbinic mitzvah, shel divreihem, and he lists all the mitzvahs of chesed. Levakeh cholim, to visit the sick. Lenachem avelim, to go to a shiva. Lahotzi hameis, to bring out the dead for burial. Lahachnis hakala, to bring in the kala. We'll talk about hachnasat kala another time, and we'll talk about why it's hachnasat kala, bringing the kala in. Lulavot haorchim, to escort the guests out. And today we'll talk about why we call it hachnasat orchim. The Rambam calls it halvayat orchim, if taking the guests out. We'll see why that is. When he tasek b'chol tzarchei hakfura, to involve oneself in everything needed for a funeral, that's the itala kesef, to carry out the body, leilech lefanav, to walk in the levaya, lisboi, to give hespedim, lachbor, to dig the grave, likfor, to give to bury the dead. Hakeinu sameach hakala v'hachosen, so too, again, what we call it is the sameach choson v'kala, and the Rambam specifically calls it the sameach kala v'choson, and we'll see why that is, but not today. Okay, ulisadam kol tarcheihem, and to give them presents on their wedding. Says the Rambam, elu hein gilus chasodin shebegufoi. This is all chesed we do with our body, with ourselves, as opposed to, he'll say later, with our money. She'ein lahem shi'ur, and there is no limit to that. Which we talked about right at the very beginning of the course in the first year, when we talked about chesed and what is the limit. So he says there is no specific limit, unlike money, where there is a limit. One should not give away more than a certain amount of one's money. When it comes to chesed with one's person, there is no fixed limit. However, we learnt in that year that the point at which there is a halakhic limit is when we ourselves become poor, quotes and quotes, from doing the chesed. And that's a complicated thing to assess. It could be financially, but it could be emotionally, psychologically, physically, all sorts of things. We talked about the fact that it's not an unlimited obligation to keep doing chesed for other people. That's not for now. We talked about that. The afalp, and here's the key. Afalp shekol mitzvahs eilu midivreihem. And even though, says the Rambam, I just told you that these are all rabbinic mitzvahs, harihem bichlal, they are nevertheless included in the ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Kol hadvarim she'ata rotzi she'asu otam lecha acherim, anything you'd like other people to do for you, ata otam lachicha b'torah mitzvah, you have to do for other people. Which is fascinating, because the source of the mitzvah of hachnasat orchim, just like the mitzvah of bikur cholim and halvayas ameit and hachnasas kala, is v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. When we do that mitzvah of inviting people to our home, we are doing the mitzvah d'oraisa of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. It's just the Rambam tells us that the rabbis gave structure to that mitzvah. We saw again in the very first year that on a Torah level, the Torah doesn't mandate what positive acts of chesed we have to do. It says we're not allowed to be negative. We can't be inconsiderate and rude. But in terms of positive acts, the Torah says we leave it to you. You decide who to help across the street and who to help with their shopping, etc. The rabbis came along and said, look, if we leave it for individuals to decide which chesed to do, the chances are that people won't really do much. So they won't know what to do, so we'll give them structure. So even though all these obligations of chesed are rabbinic, really the rabbis are actually getting us into the mitzvah d'oraisa, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, and therefore that is the mitzvah that we do when we invite guests. But more than that, the mitzvah of inviting guests has a special place over and above the other chesed mitzvahs. Look at the Rambam, he goes on in the next halacha to say, schar halavaya, the schar for showing out the guests, merubah min hakol, is actually greater than all of them. Behu hachok, and this is the rule, this is the law, shechakaku Avraham Avinu. And now he raises Avraham Avinu, having told us that the source of the halacha is ahasarecha kamocha. And it has to be, if you think about it. We can't learn a mitzvah from before Matan Torah. All the mitzvahs that we do are because after Matan Torah we got that mitzvah. Even mitzvahs that you may think appeared before, like Brit Milah. Brit Milah is not a mitzvah because God told Avraham Avinu to do Brit Milah. That was a private mitzvah. Brit Milah is a mitzvah because in Parsha Tazria it says, "Ubayom Hashmini," on the eighth day you have to do the Brit Milah. So says the Rambam, even though we don't learn the chiyuv from Avram, we nevertheless learn the deal, the details, and the concepts. The derech haChesed shenagbo, and this Chesed that he did, machel oivri drachim, by feeding wandering travelers. I'm on source number two, first line. Umashke otam, and giving them drink, or malava otam, and then he brings the words. We'll see the source in the Gemara in Shabbos in a minute. Ugdoyla hachnasas orchim mikhakbalas pnei shechina. Hachnasas orchim is even greater than receiving the shechina, which is something big, and we'll see why that is. Shenemar, he brings the pasuk. We'll see in just a minute in detail. Vayerah, and he looked. Vehine shalosha anashim. Sorry, vayar, and he looked. And hine shlosha anashim, and here were three people coming towards him. Ulevayam yoter mehachnasatam. We said that showing them out is greater than bringing them in. And amru chachamim kol she'enu melava, anyone who doesn't show their guests out, ke'ilu shofech damim. Now that's not necessarily the case today, where in most places when your guests leave you, whenever they leave you, they walk out into a safe environment with street lighting and the police force, etc. But back in the day, it was dangerous, and there are places today where it's not so safe. You take the wrong road, you end up in the wrong neighborhood, and the people aren't so friendly. And therefore, it is essential, as a guest will see the Rambam as a host, that one makes sure that one gets to know where they're doing. When we used to live in Har Nof, the one thing that most people used to get wrong when they left us is they used to get on the bus on the wrong side of the road. And they used to go three stops and end up in the terminus and wonder what to do next. So Baruch Hashem wasn't so dangerous, but nevertheless you can help people go the right way. We'll talk about that afterwards. Now, where's the Rambam getting this from? He's getting it from the Parsha, this week's Parsha, and I'd like to look with you at the Psukim, please, in number 3, and see where that comes from. This is from the beginning of this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayera. Vayera elav Hashem be'eloni mamre. And God appears to Avram, to him, how do we know who him is? Because at the end of last week's Parsha, we were just talking about Avram. It's always important to know that the end of last week's Parsha is the Pasuk before the beginning of this week's Parsha. You sometimes feel they're disconnected. God appears to him, Be'eloni Mamre, and he's sitting in the tent, at the front of the tent, in the entrance, in the heat of the day. Now, what's fascinating about this appearance of God is that God appears to Avram many times, and appears to many people many times. And almost inevitably, the reason God appears to someone is to give them a message, to communicate. And this doesn't seem to have any message. God just appears to Avram and doesn't tell him anything. So if you remember Rashi, we haven't brought it on the sheet, but Rashi on this Pasuk refers it back to the end of last week's Parsha. What is the last thing that Avram Avinu does at the end of last week's Parsha? Brit Milah. So he does the Brit Milah. So Rashi says that this appearance is Bikur Cholim, which is Hashem coming to Avram, says check that he's okay. And actually we learn a halacha from that out as well, that when one comes to visit someone in a hospital for Bikur Cholim, the point is not to sit there and talk, the point is to be there. People often get this wrong. It's a bit like a shiva house as well, la'aleinu. But the point is not to actually say anything. There's often nothing you can say, especially if the person really is quite sick, and whatever you say is just going to sound ridiculous. The point is just to be there. And that's why Hashem will appear to Avram here and not say anything, because it's the presence of God that is comforting for Bikur Cholim, not necessarily what he has to say. But that's Rashi's pshat, and that's not the only way to read it. It doesn't necessarily follow that what happens in this pasuk is immediately after the Brit Milah. It could be some time after. And therefore we'll see the Rambam has a different understanding of the way this pasuk works. So God appears to him in the heat of the day. Vayisa einav, he lifts his eyes. Vayar, and he sees. Vehine shloisha anashim nitzavim alav, there are three men standing by him. Vayar, and now he sees again. The second seeing is not a physical seeing, but I see kind of seeing. He sees what he has to do. Vayar slikratam, and he runs to meet them. Mipetach ha'oel, from the front of the tent. Vayishdachu atzah, and he bows down to the ground. Now this next pasuk is critical. Vayomer, Adonai, imna matzati chein be'inecha al na tavo me'alavecha. Who is Avram speaking to? He says Adonai.
Hashem.
Is he speaking to Hashem? Or is he speaking to the Malachim, or the guests, or the leader of the guests? So we'll see. If he's speaking to Hashem, which we'll see is what the Rambam understands, he's saying, imna matzati chein be'inecha, if I found favor in your eyes, al na tavo me'alavecha, please don't leave me at this point. Because we'll see how the Rambam understands that. And then he says, then he gets busy. And the one thing you see in the rest of these sukkim that I'm going to read you is energy. And he's not a young man, and maybe he's not such a well man either, but there's a lot of energy. Let's get us a little bit of water. Let's wash your feet. Relax under the tree. I'm going to get some bread. And then you can eat. Then you can pass. I came. That's why you come by me. And they said, do that, just like you said. And he rushed. Abraham, ha'ohel, into the tent, El Sarah, into Sarah. The Yoman, he says to her, Mahari, Rosh, hurry. Shloish sain kemach solet lushi, bake three seah of flour, solet flour, which is fine flour. Three seah of flour is an enormous amount of flour. It's a very large amount. It's enough for a chasna. It's not the amount that you would normally serve to three people, okay? Lushi, bake, it was needed. Ba'ati ugot, and make ugot. There's a whole connection with Pesach here, which I'm not getting into now. Ugot Matzah, which is not for now. V'yomru v'al habak v'al habakar rat Avram, and then he runs into the cattle shed. V'yikach ben bakar, and he takes a cow. He takes a young cow, rach v'tayv, delicate, juicy and good. V'yiten el hanar, and he gives it to the boy. Who's the boy? Yishmael. Could be Eliezer, but it's Yishmael. He has already his own son now. V'yimaher, and he also runs la'asot oto. We'll see there's a chinuch involved in haknasat orchid. Getting your kids involved in helping the guests is what we see with Avraham Avinu. But of course Yitzchak's not born yet, so there's nothing he can do. V'yikach chem'ah, then he takes some fat, some butter, v'chalav, and some milk, u'ben bakar, and the cow, asher asa, which he'd made, v'yitin lefnehem, and he gave it to them. And of course there is a side issue as, habasa v'chalav, he's serving them meat and milk, and how does that work? Which is really a side issue, and there are many answers to that. Number one, it's before Matan Torah. Number two, these are Malachim. And then number three, they're not Jewish. Number four, he doesn't necessarily make it together. Number five, he first gives them milk and not the meat. There's a lot of ways that you can answer this question. Okay. Vayitan his name, and he puts it before them. Vahu Omed Aleim, and he stands over them as a waiter. Tachat ate under the tree. Vayochel, and they eat. Vayomru Elavan, they say to him, Aye Sarah Ishtecha, where is your wife? Sarah, the Yoman, he says, Hine Ba'ohel, she is in the tent. And they don't then ask to speak to her, they just want to know where she is, and he says she's in the tent. Interestingly, just one side issue, one of the things that was not served
was the bread.
This enormous amount of bread which was being prepared for these people never actually makes it onto the table. And there's a discussion as to why that is as well, but that is also not for now either. But what you see here is an enormous amount of energy. Everyone's running. He's running, the boy's running, everyone's running. And they're giving this food to the people. Even though this is not the source of the mitzvah, this, in terms of the chiyuv, that's the after the recha kamocha. Sorry, it's not raining. It's just it's my microphone. It's raining. It's raining inside my microphone. Even though this is not the source of the mitzvah, we do get a lot of power, spiritual power, from this story. Look at this very beautiful midrash in number 4. We'll come back to the psukim in number 3 in detail soon, but look at number 4 for a second. The chesan of Rabbi Yishmael, the schar shlosha zachul shlosha. In the schar, in the merit of 3 special things, as we say, maaseh avot. Siman Lebanim. The actions of the fathers give us strength and teach us and give us chutz. In the merits of 3 things, we got 3 things. Bischachem avachalav, because of the fatty milk that he served, zachul man, we got the man. Bischar v'hu omed aleihem, in the schar that Avram stood over them and served them and protected them, zachul amud ha'anan, we got the clouds which protected us. The scar you cast nama at mayim, and in the scar let there be taken water. Zachul of Ereshot Miriam. We got the Ereshot Miriam. So even though commonly midrashically we connect the man and the water and the clouds to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. That's true, but the Medrash wants to say that the roots ultimately go back to Avram Avinu. That Avram Avinu, if you like, is laying down channels of reality, of spiritual energy that we can draw on, and we can tap into, and we can actually do this mitzvah and connect with this. That's why the Rambam said in number 2, Chok Shechakaku Avram Avinu. He laid. What does the word Chok mean? Lachakek, to engrave. It means he actually created a reality that we can tap into. This mitzvah haknasat orphan. I will say, just in parentheses, I went to America last year. Often when I go to America, I get put with random people to eat for lunch. People I've never met before, very hospitable people. One particular time I went last year to a fellow, his haknasat orphan was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. He was so polite, he was so friendly, he was so generous. I said to him afterwards, look, I've been to many people and many of them have been wonderful hosts, but really, you're something special. Like, what is this? So he said, listen. He took me to one side and he said, this is my special mitzvah. I connect with this mitzvah. I really think this mitzvah, when I go after 120 years, he says, I want this mitzvah to go with me. And underneath the middle leaf, the wooden leaf of my table, I have left instructions written under that leaf that this leaf of my dining room table is to be used for the lid of my coffin. Because he says, I want the schutz of the mitzvah to be with me when they bury me. He said, that's a bit strange, I must say. But I understood, and now I realize that he was very particularly connected with that.
Like all for the boss.
Right. Amazing thing. So this is something that we've really tapped into. Now, what is this idea of Hakbalas Pnei Shechina? Hakbalas Pnei Shechina, the Haknasas Orchim, is greater than connecting the Shechina. So, the Gemara in Shabbos is the source for this, what the Rambam mentioned in number 2. And the Gemara in Shabbos explains it comes from these psukim. Amar Rav Yehuda, number 5. Amar Rav. Gedoyle Haknasas Orchim. Greater is Haknasas Orchim, the Hakbalas Pnei Shechina. The greeting the face of the Shechina. Why? Diksiv, because it says, Vayomer Hashem. Hashem, this word Adonai, which could be used in different ways. He said that Hashem, Innam asati beinecha al nasa avom el abdecha. Rashi says, Vehinicho, he leaves God. Vahalach lekabel ha'orchim. And he goes off to deal with the guests. Amar Rebbe Elazar ba ure'ei. Shalokim midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basav adam. You can't do this with a human king. Midat basav adam ein katan yachol lomar lagadol hamtein. You can't say to the king, wait, it's just you're with the Queen of England. You're with the President of America. And you get a phone call. You say, excuse me, I just have to speak to someone a minute. Hang on. I'll be back with you in a minute. Ezra Mazar. You'll get some sharp words from Prince Philip, I can assure you. Okay? So he says, how can that be? You can't say I can't wait till I come to you. Ve'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, huksiv ayom Hashem in nasad matzasi beinecha. Hashem, Avram says to him, this is a very nice communion that we're having here, connecting with God. But you know something? I've got to go and deal with these people. If you don't mind just waiting for a few minutes, I don't know how long it'll take, I'll be back with you shortly, and I'll deal with these traveling guests. Is it chutzpah? How did Avram Avinu know that this was the right thing to do? How did he know anything? I mean, he didn't have halacha. He couldn't look it up in the Mishnah Berurah. Okay? He had to intuit this. It says in Chazal that Avram knew the mitzvot, knew that from his klayot, from his kishkas, he got it from there. So Rav Berkovitz, Rav Yitzchak Berkovitz, my Rosh Hashiva, once had a beautiful yesod, a beautiful idea in this, and he said the following. He said, when you're trying to connect with God, it's very difficult. What does it mean to commune with God? I really don't know what Avraham Avinu was experiencing. But to connect with God, God is intangible, and you can communicate, but it's hard to hear any communication back. And he's Eish Ochla. It's too dangerous. It's too, you can't connect with God. How do you connect with God? What you can do is you connect with a Tselem Elokim, which you find in a person. Meaning, when you give a person Hachnasat Orcha, when you give a, bring a smile to a person's face, what Avraham Avinu is saying to God is, you know something? I want to connect with you, but you know I can do it even better by serving these people. He's not saying to God, I'm going to just break off from this communion with you and serve these people. He's saying, this is actually a closer connection with God than I can get by meditating and having a nevuah, which is a very beautiful idea. The idea that Hachnasat Orchim is not just giving people food, but it's connecting with a Tselem Elokim in another human being, whether they're Jewish, whether they're not Jewish, in this case, it doesn't make any difference, because that is a way of connecting with God. It's a very, very beautiful idea, and I think that we can really see it coming out of what's going on with Avraham Avinu in this way. I would just add in parentheses, which is a whole shir in of itself, the Rambam himself actually reads this whole parsha differently, a very controversially. The Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim picks up on this issue that God appears to Avraham but doesn't say anything. And he says, you know something? He does say something. What does he say? The Nevuah that he gives to Avraham Avinu is this entire story of the guests and Sarah laughing and the message that they're going to have a son, and the whole thing is happening to him in a Nevuah, says the Rambam. It's all part of the Nevuah that Avraham Avinu is being given, and actually in real time, in physical time, says the Rambam, there were no guests and there was no laughing and there was no flower this didn't happen in physical time, it happened in Nevuah, which maybe is even more real than the physical world, I don't know. But it's a controversial statement. Now, the Ramban on the Chumash brings the Moreh Nevuchim to tell people that this is completely wrong, and you can't listen to that, and you can't teach it. It's ironic, because nobody actually reads the Moreh Nevuchim anymore. The only way they know this statement of the Rambam is because the Ramban brings it on his Perush and Chumash to tell you that you mustn't listen to it. But it's interesting, because if you just said Shtum, then no one would have known it. But in his day, everybody read the Moreh Nevuchim. But this is actually a very big topic in and of itself. The Rambam, as a Shita, holds the view that whenever anyone has a connection with the Malach, a malach is a non-physical thing, and therefore they go through Chumash, says the Rambam. And every time you see anyone doing anything with a malach, it has to be happening in a nevuah. Whether it's Bilam, whether it's Avraham Avinu and the guests, whether it's Yaakov fighting the angel, all sorts of things. And you can actually get into a whole discussion about this, which is not for now, although it's fascinating in and of itself. One of the questions the Rambam asks is, so where does the nevuah stop according to you? Was Sodom destroyed also in a nevuah? Or was it really destroyed in reality? There are answers to those questions, but I'm not getting into that now. It's just something to think about. Anyway, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avraham. Avraham, if you like, intensifies that by dealing with these guests. If you look in number 7, you see how this mitzvah, Hachnas Dorkim, is given a special place. Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Shiloh, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shishad Varim, Adam Ochel Perotei Me'olam Azeh. This is very similar to what we say in Shacharit, but it's a different gift, a different version, different source. There are 6 things which a person can have the fruit in this world. Bahakeren Kayemet Lo Le'olam Abba. But the principle is really, the reward is for him in the world to come. What is the first on the list, in this list? The Eloheim, and these are they, Hachnasat Orchim. Number 1. Bikur Cholim, Iyun Tfilah, etc. But Hachnasat Orchim appears first on the list. If you flip over the page, you'll see in source number 8, the Me'iri makes a comment, She'ein lecha mitzvah gedola mizo. There is no greater mitzvah than this, which is quite something. There's a beautiful Gemara in Sanhedrin that takes you on a roller coaster whistle stop tour around Tanakh about all the places where Hachnasat Orchim impacts on people. Look at number 9 quickly. He says, Gedoyla Legima. How great is Legima? Legima is a Lachayim. giving someone a little thing to eat, a little thing to drink. How great is that? Shehirchika shtei mishpachot miYisrael. Because of Hachnasat Orchim, two whole families were distanced from the Jewish people. Explain in a minute. Shineema al davar shelo kadmu etchem belechem ubamayim. Who was it that didn't come to us with a lachaim, with a bit of bread and water when we were coming through the desert? Who stopped? Moab and Ammon. Moab and Ammon. Moab and Ammon could have come. They're cousins, after all. Moab and Ammon. They're cousins, although they're from Lot, which may have a lot to say about that. No pun intended, really, in that case. I'll tell you when I am, intending to pun. I like punning, but only once upon a time. Okay. That was intended. Okay, fine. So, the two families were pushed away. Rabbi Yochanan Didei Amar, Rabbi Yochanan said, Murecheket et akaroidim, hachnas orchim can push away the close. Mekarevet et arachoikim, it can be makarev, those who are far. Interestingly, and by the way, in modern day quote unquote kirum that people are involved in, hachnasat orchim is central, probably the most important thing. Uma alemet einayim min harashan, it can hide the eyes of punishment and judgment from the wicked people. Umash reshchina al nevi habal, it can cause the shchina to rest on false prophets. Ushkagasa oilazaron, even if you make a mistake by accident, it can be as if you did it on purpose. What are these examples? So look at the beautiful examples. Marachakit et akroivim, where does hachnasat orchim push away those who are close? Ammon and Moab. They were relatives. They could have been part connected with the Jewish people. They failed to come to us with Hachnasat Orchim, and now we are not allowed to marry a Moabi, an Ammoni, etc. Mekarevet et Akrochaikim. Where does it Mekarev people? Yitro. Look at Yitro. The Amar Rabbi Yochan. Rabbi Yochan explains Beschar. What is Beschar of Yitro? He says to his daughters, Karanlo, you can call him out. Why is he standing outside? V'yochel lechem. Let him come inside and have a bite to eat. Just having said that is how he connects with Moshe. His daughter marries him, his grandchildren are Tamidei Chachomim, etc. Zachu b'nei banov, and his children, his grandchildren, they sat on the Sanhedrin. Ma'alem etinayim in Arashayim, how did it hide the eyes of judgment from the wicked? Micha. You know the story of Micha? Micha sets up Petel Micha on the next hill to Shiloh. In Sefer Shoftim at the end. And while the people are coming to Shiloh, Micha is running his anti-Shiloh, his anti-Jewish, whatever it was, little temple, Avodah Zorah on the top. How could it be, say Chazal, that this could last hundreds of years, this Avodah Zorah? It is because he was very generous. And whenever people came, he gave them Hachnasat Orchim. That itself protected him, in fact, even though he was doing such a terrible thing. Mashreshchina al-Navi Habal, Michaveru Shel Ido, remember the story of Ido Hanavi? He goes in to eat with a false prophet who tells him, God has a message for me, for you, and it's not true. And whilst he's there, because of the Hachnasat Orchim, the false prophet actually gets a real prophecy. And the final example an accidental sin, like a person on purpose, he brings David and Yonatan. Yonatan fails to give David something for the journey. I think my mother takes this very seriously. Every time I go anywhere, she packs me up with fish balls and with cakes and with this and with that. Even if I'm only driving, an hour down the road, never mind, she would give me something. Yonatan could have given David a little something. He didn't. David was hungry. Where did he go for food? Nov. To the Kohanim of Nov. And because the Kohanim of Nov helped him, Shaul HaMelech found out and slaughtered the Kohanim Nov. And because David didn't have any food, if you'd just given him a little bit of a sandwich, pekelach for the journey, then he would have been okay. So you see Hachnasat Orchim figures again and again and again. And today for us, we have lots of interesting applications. Soon we'll get into the halachot. But for now, just one other word of Hashkafa. Look at number 10. The Gemara in Chagiga brings a posse from Yecheskel. The Chsiv, HaMizbeach Etz. Yecheskel is having a vision of the third temple. He's seeing the Mizbeach, the altar, is made of wood. Shalosh Amot Gvoah, 3 Amos high. Ba'archa Shtayim, and 2 Amos wide. When we tell Tavlo, and he talks about the corners, Ba'archa, etc., etc. And then he says, V'yidaba Eli, God says to me, Zeh HaShulchan HaShalifnei Hashem. This is the Shulchan, which is before God. So the Gemara says, what? Excuse me. It's not the Shulchan. It's the Mizbeach. The Shulchan is something different. It's a different thing in the Beit HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Patach B'Mizbeach, B'Siyen B'Shulchan. You start off talking about Mizbeach, and then you end up calling the Mizbeach a Shulchan. Rabbi Yochanan, it's interesting, always Rabbi Yochanan coming on these things. V'Resh Lachish Ta'amit Revival. Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kaim, when the temple was standing, Mizbeach Mechaper Al Adam. if we needed a kapara, if we needed a connection with God, we had the mizbeach, we could bring a korban. Now, he says, Achshav, shulchano shel adam mechaper alav. We don't have a mizbeach, we have our dining room table, says Rashi, bachnasat orchim. Amazing. Again, the idea that hachnasat orchim is the thing that connects us with God. And by the way, we have many minhagim that connect the dining room table with the mizbeach. For example, there are people who won't put metal knives. There's a halacha to clear away metal knives from the table on a weekday before you bench. Not everybody does this, and on Shabbos it doesn't apply. But why would they bring down a halacha to clear metal knives off the table before you bench? Says the halacha.
Why on Shabbos?
On Shabbos doesn't apply because on Shabbos we don't remember the churban. It's because of the churban. It's because on one level it talks about the fact that somebody, God forbid, maybe when they're singing Al Naros Bavel, not that anybody says these days Al Naros Bavel, but when they're singing Al Naros Bavel, they may be overcome with grief and, you know, kill themselves, God forbid. But more than that, the metal knife reminds you of the fact that metal was not allowed to touch the mizbeach, because metal is a sign of death, but the mizbeach is a source of life. So the dining room table similarly. Also, we dip the bread in salt, and that's a direct remez. So when the Kohanim ran up the ramp, they dipped the meat in salt and they took it up the ramp. The bread is now our korbanot, as it were. There are people who have a minhag, and it's not just Sephardim, to throw the bread to the guests around the table. Not in a way which is a bizayon. Obviously, not talking about a food fight and throwing food around the room. We're talking about rather than putting it on the plate. Why is that? Says the Ksav Sofer is from the Hassan Sofer's family, so it's very much Ashkenazi. It's a remez to when the Kohanim used to go to the top of the ramp. They didn't put the korbanot, the meat pieces, on the fires. They threw them. There was a zrikah. Different from the zrikat hadam, that was one thing, but there was a zrikat habasar. So when we're throwing the bread to everybody, keilu we come on in. Also, we wash our hands before the meal. One of the ramazim there is also you're a kohen. You're about to go on to the mizbeach. You wash your hands. There's so many that people say that you can't sit on the dining room table. All sorts of things that people do, which are a remez to the idea of the mizbeach. So this is these lots of beautiful ideas. Which we bring out from here. Let's get into some halakha. We've had a half an hour talking about the ideas. Let's spend 10 minutes talking about the halakhas of the guests, and let's spend 10 minutes talking about the halakhas of the hosts, and we'll see if there's any interesting new things that come up. Have a look please at number 14. First of all, who is a guest? We have to invite guests, so who counts? Who classifies as a guest? So there's an interesting halakha in Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Shabbos, one of the things you're not allowed to do, the Rabbanon, is schlep things. Even if they're not technically malacha, if you can't wait for Saturday afternoon to clear out your garage. That's what people do at the weekend, no? That's what people have Saturday afternoons for, to do all those jobs that you didn't have time for during the week. You can't do that on Shabbos. Even if technically you're not breaking Shabbos, you can't go schlepping everything from place to place. Look in number 14. If you have a storehouse of grain, or shel kadayin, or wine barrel, something like that, afal pisha mutzale histapek mimenu, even though you're allowed to go into your storehouse to take food or wine for Shabbos, why not? The answer is because I might have thought it was muksa, because it's for sale, it's not for personal use, doesn't matter, it's food, you can take it. Asur lahatchil bo lifnoto, you can't start schlepping it around, starting a whole job. Ela ledvar mitzvah, unless you're doing it for a mitzvah. Chazal said, since this is an Issa Drabonon, they'll relax it if it's for a mitzvah. Like what? Kagon, for example, Shepinau lahachnasat orchim. You're doing it for guests. All of a sudden you realize you've got to clear the way to make a table, big table. Or likvor bo beit hamidrash, or you're having a shir in your house or something. So, says the Ramah, so good. So who? What is hachnasat orchim? Now I need to know halachically. I have a heter on Shabbos to schlep my barrels around for hachnasat orchim. So what is hachnasat orchim? So look what he says. The loy mikra orchim, here in the Ramah in the Rashi script, in number 14, it's only called guests, elashin is archo et slobaveto, either someone who's staying with you in your house, or she's zimun orchim, or you're inviting guests, she did archu et tilachem, who are staying over for Shabbos in other people's house. Aval, kashiminen, she zimen chavero. If you just invite your friends, lisod et slo, to have a meal with you, lo mikra orchim. That's not called hachnasat orchim. The ain a sudat mitzvah. That is not a sudat mitzvah. Rek sudat rishut. There's nothing wrong with it. It's sudat rishut. Means it's okay, it's called socializing, there's nothing wrong with it. But says the Ramah, it's not called hachnasat orchim. Why not? So again, Rav Berkowitz explained that Hachnasat Orchim somehow has to be linked with the fact that you're giving somebody who's in need. They have to be needy. They're needy in this case because they're visitors for Shabbos. They don't have anywhere else to go, so they come to you. But needy doesn't just mean people from out of town. Needy can mean people from in town. They can be socially needy, not just physically needy. It's not just that they have nowhere to eat. It could be they have no one to eat with. They need company. And it could be that inviting your friends is hachnasat orchim if they're desperate for an invitation. You know how it is. Sometimes you're always hosting, and then now one week somebody says, would you like to come to us? It's like a holiday. It's like going on vacation. Because for one week you're able to go with your kids to somebody else, that's definitely hachnasat orchim. But just getting together to socialize with your friend, that's nice, that's good, but it's not mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah of hachnasat orchim. There has to be someone in need. And I brought you at the bottom of the page here, in number 16, the Chofetz Chaim, I'm afraid the writing's rather small, but the Chofetz Chaim brings down all the wonderful mitzvah, and he says here, the da'od. See if you can read number 60. If not, you can listen. The mitzvah haknasat orchim noheg af ashirim. Mitzvah haknasat orchim also applies with rich people. Kemosha kalsa the sefer yeshnochlin, he brings them at the sefer of the Maril. The asher eitzrichin letovato, even though they don't need your money, they don't need your food, afim hachi hakbal ashim a kabelot of the panim yavot. Having someone and greeting them with a smile can be an amazing thing. To give them honor, lachabdam, lefikvodam. He mitzvah, this is also a mitzvah. V'kol shekeinim ha'orchim heimaneim. All the more so if they're poor. He mitzvah kfula, it's a double mitzvah. Shemakayim bezeh gam mitzvah tzedakah. You can give tzedakah in a very honorable and dignified way by having people to eat with you rather than giving them handouts. And he says over the next little paragraph, sadly, harabim nafochu, these days he said it's not so straightforward. People don't like doing that. Kishibara ehu ashir, when rich people come, yichabdenu b'chol ha'kibudim. They're looking after them on the simcha, the later. Kishibara etzloi ish alub. And when the Nebuch comes, they're not so interested. Someone once told me, an older fellow, I was once davening in Monks in London. I used to daven there on Shabbos, and there was a fellow that came up to me, and this is his words, not mine. And he said to me, you know what Haknasat Orchim is? And I said to him, inviting guests? He went, no. This was his words. He says, it's inviting all the smellies. He says, the people that you don't really want, but the people that they need. He says, it's not for you necessarily. Of course it's a balance, because you can't constantly have people that make an awkward atmosphere, but it's a balance. There has to be a focus on people who need it rather than you need them. It's difficult sometimes when you pick people up randomly, you never know who you're bringing home. And occasionally I've done this. I'm not very good at this. I'm English, you see. I don't have that kind of, relaxed nature. But, I once went up to someone in Shul in Hendon many years ago. Fellow floating around the back at the end. He looked as though he needed something. I went up to him and I plucked up the courage and I said to him, do you need a place to eat on Shabbos? And he said, yes, please. And I thought, oh, marvellous. And I brought him home. I said, I introduced him to my wife. Here is, I think his name was Pedro. He was from South America, something like that. Or Rodrigo, something like that. And I know these are classic South American names, but it was a bit like that. And I brought him home and I said to Sarah, oh, we have another guest for Shabbos. She raised an eyebrow, but she said, very nice, thank you. He came home. It was all fine until at a certain point during the soup, he put his spoon down and he said to us, let me tell you why I am here. And we're looking here, he said. And then he proceeds to tell us this story about how he was lying on his bed in South America and a figure appeared to him in the window with long hair, a halo, with outstretched arms looking down on him. And my son at the time was about 3 or 4 years old. I remember him with his soup halfway to his mouth. Like, he could see that something weird was going on here. So I'm looking at my wife and she's looking at me. She's looking at me thinking, this is who you bring home. He looked like a nice guy. And he came home. So you never know. My heart was in the right place. And I'm sure he's doing fine now. But that's who it is to invite guests. And what are the dinim of the guests? Go to page 3 for a second. We often think of the halachas of the host, but the guest has halachas. First of all, go back to the story of Avraham Avinu. So what do the guests do in that story? Well, they eat the food. But not just that. Number 17, remember the positive. Yomru Elav, they say to him, Ayei Sara Ishtecha, where is your wife? And he says she's in the tent. And Rashi famously says in number 18, Yoidin Hayum Alchei Asharei Sara Imeinu Heichin Haisa. They knew full well where she was. So why did they say that? Elalohoidia Shetzanua Haisa. They wanted to tell Avraham Avinu that she was Tanua Kidela Chavava Elbana, so that he'd love her even more. Which is nice. And in fact, if you look at the word Ayei, there are dots over it in the Chumash. I didn't bring it on the sheet. The Chazal say you can read it Ayei, where is she? And Ayo, where is he? And Chazal say elsewhere that they asked her, where is he? And they asked him, where is she? Meaning, and again, Rav Berkowitz explained, the job of the guest is to bring shalom bayis to the house. Because if you think about it, the guest, you're intruding on somebody else's privacy, on their private time, on their family time. Your job is to, as far as possible, bring shalom to the household. And therefore, that is why the malachim are asking these questions, because they want them to appreciate each other. And that takel ha'maisa is the din of the guests. If you look at number 19, hamagunu mimenu oreach machnitz oreach. One of the worst things you can do as an oreach is bring an unexpected guest and intrude on people like that. Oreach matriach balabayis. If the oreach is matriach the balabayis, bothers the balabayis, magunu mishloshtam. That's worse than all of them. And the job of the guest is number 20, hanichnas lebayis as a shulchan aruch. If you come to someone's house, kol mashayoma loy balabayis yaseh. Your job is to do whatever you're told, and to make life nice and easy and simple for the hosts. Chutz mitzeh, apart from leave, but eventually there's a time to leave too. This, by the way, people have asked me these problems. Sometimes guests just never leave, and it's Friday night, and it's 11 o'clock, and it's 11:30, and it's 11:45, and you're dropping, and your wife's dropping. Like, everybody's falling asleep, and the guests are having a wonderful time. It's not so easy. The Mishnah Brura.
Switch on, off 5 minutes.
Then come back on again. I know people who've done this, yes. The time switch goes off and you're, oh, look at that, sorry. And they leave and it comes back on again. You sit and read the paper. I know. It's a well-trodden path. The Mishnah Brura makes an interesting point. Really? Everything they say to you, you have to do? What happens if you're not comfortable? What happens if it's inappropriate? So he says an interesting thing. Look for a second, number 21. Even if something makes you feel a bit embarrassed, that you're too shy as a guest to do that, okay? You wouldn't normally do that, you wouldn't normally say this. You have to do it, because your job is, saying the Mishnah Brura, your job is to make the atmosphere work. I tell this to my guests. I have a lot of students who come as guests, and I say this to them. They often come thinking they're coming to a show. You know, they sit there, and they're someone's told them, oh, you must go to this house, that house, it's great there on Shabbos. And I say to them, it's only great if you make it great. If you sit there monosyllabic for the entire meal and say nothing, then it's not going to be great, because it's very awkward. Their job is to be conversationalist. You have to teach people this. They don't know how to do this. People don't know how to be conversationalist, and what, you don't want them to talk too much. Yeah. But my problem with people is not that they talk too much on the whole these days, especially young people, is that they don't talk at all. And I have to coax them to talk a little bit. It's very difficult to give a Dvar Torah. You know, the number of people who think they come to my Shabbos table, they can sit there shtum. You have to give it to Dvar Torah. And they say, oh, I don't have anything to say. Excuse me, you're in full-time learning from Sunday morning till Thursday evening. What have you done all week? You don't have anything to say? Think of something to say, you know. So that's what the Mishnah Brura is saying. A guest has to be prepared to do things that are perhaps a bit shy. Nevertheless, they have to do. Vim ha'oreich noeg eizim pishut b'davah she'osim mishum tzrach isa. But of course, if a guest thinks something is awesome, they don't have to do something which they think is inappropriate. If the balabai says to the girl at the table, sing us a song, will you? And the answer is no, I'm not going to sing you a song. You don't have to do any isurim. But if you're just being shy, if you're just being a tzaddik, now is the time to make an atmosphere and to do it properly. And therefore I find that guests need a little bit of warming up. This is one of the reasons why they invented whiskey, I think. to help oil the wheels a little bit in moderation. One has to keep an eye on guests. On Purim, I'm usually a little bit careful to see what's going on, especially with my students. On Pesach, I missed something important, which was one of my female students, who's 18 years old, was getting into the Arbakosis, and the four cups were five cups, were six cups, were seven cups, were eight cups, were nine cups, and by the end of the Seder, she was almost literally dancing, singing Dayenu on the table. That was perhaps a little bit too relaxed, so now I try to keep an eye on it. One of the things that the guest has to do, I don't want to lose time, so I want to talk about the host as well. The Rambam in number 22 in Hilchos Tshuva says one of the things that people find it difficult to do tshuva for are things that they don't even realize are wrong. And one of the examples he gives is if a guest goes to a home where they want to be hospitable, but the guest can see that they really don't have any money, the job of the guests is to cut back, is to hold back, is to not ask for seconds, because they can see that these people really don't have enough money to entertain, but they want to be giving, entertaining people. And you see this a lot. In Yerushalayim, you see this, you go to people's homes, and they really don't have enough money. But they want you to be there, and therefore your job as a guest is the Rambam. And a person might say, well, what did I only, they offered it, so I ate it. You know, what did I do wrong? The answer is no. Chacham einav birosha, you have to be aware of this. And he says, this is an averi, he calls it avak gezer. It's almost like stealing, because these people really can't afford to give it to you. One of the other jobs the Shulchan Aruch brings of the guest is to give a brocha, like we see with the Malachim number 23. Gadol mevarech, the person who is greatest leads the benching. If there are a group of people eating together, they pick the greatest one. Afilu babasov, even if he came at the end. Vimratza liten reshut lekatan mevarech rashai, he can ask a smaller one to give a brocha to make them do the benching. Vahani mili kashe ein sham oreach, that's only when there are people sitting together, friends. But if there's a guest, if one is a host and one is a guest, whom of arech, the guest must lead the benching. Even if the balabait is a massive talmud chacham and the guest is a much more simple person, he has to lead the benching. Kedeshi of arech the balabait, so he can give a brocha to the balabait. He says, "Oh, ma brocha. What is the brocha? Ma brocha that he gives him, and he lists the brocha. Which now appears in most of the benches, but that is the brocha that the guest has to. Give to the balabait. It's very, very important. What's the time? 11:05. The number 24, the Shulchan Aruch brings an idea that the guests can't overreach themselves. Orchim hanichnasim etzel balabait einu rishayim litol milifneim belitein lebno or laavdosh al balabait. You can't start taking food and giving it to other people who you have no right to give it to. Ela inken notel reshut mi balabait, unless you get permission from the balabait. What's he talking about? The Mishnah Brewer gives an example, rather extreme example from the Gemara, where there was a famine and there was very little food, and the host gave more food to the guests and left food to his children. And when the host went into the kitchen, the guest said, this is not fair, I'm going to give the food to the children, the children are hungry. The children then had all the food on their plate. The father, the host, comes in, sees that the children have now got the food, assume the children took the food, says the Gemara, he hit the child fell off the chair, the child broke his neck, the mother then ran in and saw the child dead, and the mother committed suicide. It's obviously a completely, entirely dysfunctional arrangement. And the Gemara is not suggesting that this is going to happen, but he's saying, you know something? It's saying an interesting thing. You never know what kind of a dysfunctional family you are walking into when you're a guest. You really don't. And therefore, you have to watch the boundaries and not overstep the boundaries as a guest, and do things which could set off a whole chain reaction in a way that you never expected. But let's have a look in the last 7 minutes of the halachas of the host, because I'm sure all of us in this room are keen to be hosts. So here are half a dozen things to think about as a host. Look on page 4. First of all, I brought you a heading, Mitzvah Bo Yosef Yishlucha. There is nevertheless a mitzvah always to try and do things yourself rather than through a shaliach. If you have a mitzvah, you should do it rather than give it to someone else. And therefore, Hachnasat Orchim is done by the person running around, not giving it necessarily to the servants to do, but a person should do it themselves. There's no better way to teach your kids kibud horim, kibud avaim, and for you to do it for your parents, and the kids can see you, and therefore they'll copy that. Nevertheless, we saw as well there was an idea of chinuch that Avraham asked Yishmael to help too, but the kids have to see the parents doing it. But more importantly, even than that, in Beth, seva panim yafot. It has to be done with a smile. And this is also something which is difficult. People invite guests, and they don't realize that when you're a host, you're basically, you're a choreographer, you're running a show. The pleasure. You're running a show, it doesn't happen by itself. You have to make it happen. And therefore, people who sit there and don't smile, and, you know, I have girls who, I teach a lot of girls, and sometimes they say to me, you know, we went to this person's house, and the balabais was very, whatever it is, she didn't look at women, and every time he talked to us, he looked at the wall. Okay, that's, I understand that, but then invite boys. Don't invite girls. If you have, I'm not criticizing the behavior of someone who behaves that way, but I'm saying that you can't make the guests feel uncomfortable by doing that. It's not appropriate. There has to be a smile on your face. Look at the Gemara in the missionary in Avastir, Bryce, around Avastir Rabbi Nosson, number 26. The Havi Mekabalitz Kol Adam B'Seva Panim Yofes. A person has to smile at whoever they see. Ketzad, how does that work? If a person gave another person all the money in the world, upanav kavushim baretz, but their face is sour. Their face is sour. Male alav akosav ki'ilu lo natan lo klum. You didn't do anything. You can give them all the money and all the food and all the. If you don't smile, if your face is sour, it's nothing. But if a person smiles at another person, even if they gave them nothing, as if they gave them everything they could possibly think of. In other words, smiling goes a long way towards a lot of things. I don't know whether people smile enough these days. Especially, and it seems to be often the frum you are, the less you smile. I don't know where that came from. Sometimes people feel that, you know? Very serious, a serious demeanor. That's nonsense. It's not true. People have to be people. If you look at the Gedolei Yisrael, they're very often smiling a lot. You see the pictures of them and the people that knew them. Smiling is a very important thing, and people should bear that in mind. And the Rambam brings that into 27, smiling is, and then giving people with a smile with a pleasant atmosphere. He brings it in the Hilchos Tzedaka in that way. There is, of course, an obligation not to embarrass the guests. Look in number 28. You're not allowed to look at people who are eating, not at his portion. You're not allowed to embarrass them. A person can't be particular and irritable at a meal. Kasan, oragzan, basa'uda. This is very difficult, especially if you have children who are winding you up. Small children who never stop screaming, or large teenage children who run out in a bad mood and slam the doors all the time. One of my friends actually, at a certain point, actually removed the door from his teenage daughter's room and said, "This door has been slammed for the last time." And she says, "Well, what am I going to do? I've got no." She says, "You'll have to get a curtain, see if you can slam that." And you know, sometimes it's very hard to keep an equilibrium going when your kids are behaving badly. But that's the job of the host, has to keep that relaxed nature, the relaxed atmosphere going. Just have a look at the last couple of things. The job of the host is to make hamotzi, because the guest doesn't know how much to give out, and therefore they can't be in a position to make hamotzi. One of the little things that I wanted to bring you at the bottom of the page is as follows. In terms of the way that the host behaves, first of all, in number 31, the Gemara says, "Ki tov lo imach." The person, the guest, has to be with you. Imach b'machel, imach b'mishter. Shelote hei ata oichel pat nekiya, v'hu oichel pat kibba. You can't be eating nice food, but they get the worst food. You get the nice pillows, but they get the lumpy pillows. There has to be, you have to give the guests, insofar as possible, whatever you would want yourself. And the Rambam actually brings that from Kain and Hevel. You know, when you're giving, you have to give with a good heart, like Hevel, and not in a mean way like Cain. Number 33, I just wanted to focus on for a second, which is very nice, about the creating an atmosphere. Look at number 33 in detail. The Yom HaShmini, the eighth day of Sukkot, the korban is very small. Remember, just one little this and one little that, after all the grand korbanot of Sukkot. So he says, Ma ra lihiyot pochet kol yom? Why did the korbanot go down each day? Says the midrash here. Lamdacha haTorah derech eretz min haKorbanos. The Torah is teaching the derech eretz from the korbanos. If you go to a home and the hosts greet you, Yom Rishon, on the first day, Makablo Yafer, you get the red carpet treatment. Umachilu Ofot, you get off. I think off doesn't mean chicken here, I think it means like, I don't know, swan, goose, who knows what lovely things. Bet, on the second day, Machilu Basar, you get beef. But Shlishi Machilu Dagim, the third day, you get fish. On the fourth day, you get a salad. Okay? Kach poiched v'hoylech, you go down and down. Asher machilo kidneys. Kidneys were, you know, kidneys means you open a tin of beans. What is this telling us? Something very interesting. Sometimes, to make people feel at home, you have to be less formal and more relaxed. And it's all very well being very formal at the beginning, but if someone's been staying with you and by day 8 it's still the same kind of stiff formal atmosphere, then they don't feel at home. By a certain time you say to them, look, this is the milchik side, this is the fleshik side, here are the mugs, make yourself a cup of tea or an omelette if you want. That's much better hospitality. Yeah, do the washing up. Yeah, here's how the dryer works, you know, fine. So It's a very interesting thing. Again, the obligation on the host is to use chokhmah to work out how are you going to make the people feel most comfortable. Yes.
Is it possible that you want to leave?
That's also possible. It's also possible, and you have to find a way to do that. And when you do want him to leave, I'll just bring your attention to the last source. When you do want him to leave, the Gemara has a long piece about how important it is, like I said at the beginning, of Livui, of showing them out. It brings from the Egla Arufa. The Egla Arufa, where someone finds, God forbid, a corpse, a dead body, and the Zakenim of the town says the mitzvah have to wash their hands, and they have to say, you know, we didn't shed this blood, says the Gemara. Do you think that the Zakenim would have shed blood? And the answer is no. They have to analyze. Did we let this person walk on his own in a dangerous area without looking after him? Did we give him food? Did we even give him protection? Are we responsible on some level for the death of this person? And the Rambam brings in the halacha that back in the day when people were really in dangerous situations, and today if they still are, you have to escort your guests, you have to take them, give them rides, all sorts of things, even until the edge of the town, until they find somewhere where they can safely continue from there. That is a very important part of the mitzvah. It doesn't stop when they leave the house. Okay, now Dalet Amot, people have this Dalet Amot, that's to make people, he brings it in halacha to make people feel mechubad a little bit. I knew someone once, a little bit of an OCD individual, who actually drew a line 4 amos from the house, and he would walk up to the line. Clearly, he's missed the whole point here. It's not that you're being makayim like Dalet Amos, and not, the point is you have to make the person feel special. He doesn't feel special if you walk up to and no further than a line on the floor. You have to use your seichel. Seichel is critical in this mitzvah on both sides. So there you are. You've seen lots of very, very very beautiful hashkafic ideas about hachnasas orachim, halachas of the host, halachas of the guest, and hopefully this is a mitzvah we can continue to do in good health for many, many years.
Amen.